Hawkeye fans, Chad Light, a little rusty on vacation here. Chad Light's Deco of the Des Moines Register, emergency podcast. Big news day here on a Thursday. Kennington Smith of the Register holding down the fort at hawkcentral.com. And Kennington, this is going to be a very, very busy day for you. But so actually, thank you for making the time because. I'm just on vacation here, but you got a lot to get to after this. So your idea for the emergency pod, definitely a good idea. The lawn is mowed. Kind of the next phase of my vacation doesn't start till tomorrow, so it's a great time for us. Where do you want to start, Pac-12 or Caden Proctor? Two big pieces of news here. There we go. Kennington Smith, sorry. You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I apologize. I had you muted because there's some teams beeping on our back end. Kennington Smith, where do you want to start? Caden Proctor commits to Iowa over Alabama, or Chad Lystico and Kennington Smith book biannual road trips to Southern California? Where do you want to start?
I guess we have to start with Caden Proctor. You know, this is for Iowa. I believe you called it on Twitter the biggest recruiting win of Kirk Ferentz's career at Iowa, which is saying a lot because they've had great players come through before, but never one that's been ranked in the top 10 in the country, I believe, at least. You can fill me in on that if that's not the case, but what a huge day and what a huge recruiting win, especially considering who it came against in the face of Alabama. So you think about it in back-to-back years. They go, you know, head-to-head, tooth and nail with Ohio State for Xavier Wampa, and then they come back the following year and go head up with Alabama for Caden Proctor, and they win both battles. So you have to tip your cap to Iowa's coaching staff. And, you know, like I've said before on previous podcasts and shows, Iowa is recruiting better now than they ever have. And, you know, today was just more evidence of that.
Yeah, we apologize for the background noise. We're doing this on Teams, so obviously it's a very busy news time at Hawk Central. So that's where you're hearing the pings in the background. Usually we do these during, like, slow times and, you know, make sure no one's going to be online. Anyway, Caden Proctor, 6'8", 335, for those that don't know, had every school in the country offering him the number one offensive tackle in the class of 2023. Picks the Hawkeyes, stays home from Pleasant Hill, obviously. Kennington, it just kind of also gives you a sense that, you know, Xavier Wampa, must really be liking his first, 6 months here at the University of Iowa. That has had to be a selling point, and I think that's also a good indication of the culture, the fit, all that being good for Caden as well. Kind of just reassuring, I think, that hey, Iowa's a good place to come if you want to be develop the right way, be close to home, play in the Big Ten, go to LA. We'll get to the LA part, but seriously, I mean, yeah, I think that speaks well to how Wampa is feeling at the University of Iowa as well.
Yeah, for sure. When he committed initially, he was very vocal on Twitter about wanting to be a lead recruiter for the 23 class. He committed kind of so late in the process, early signing day in 2022, that he immediately looked ahead to those younger than him, those who were his peers, and wanted to get some of those guys on board. And I think we're seeing evidence of that in this 23 class. I mean, in addition to Caden Proctor, they got Trevor Lauk, another four-star. I mean, their rank's pretty high in the 24/7 rankings, and they have a lot of recruiting momentum right now. But I think that, for sure, getting Wampa in on campus, and not only, is he liking it, but he's also kind of primed to maybe make an early impact, and the coaches like what they see from him as well. So not only can he sell the idea that the program is, rebuilding from a culture standpoint and the atmosphere is good inside the facility, but also that there's a lot of opportunity for elite prospects to come in and potentially have a chance to contribute early. And the coaches are going to give you that opportunity to kind of show what you can do. So, you have to give a little bit of credit to Wampa also as kind of a lead recruiter and somebody who the Iowa program can kind of prop up as kind of like a face and a champion for the program to kind of go out and recruit some of these more elite prospects.
Yeah, and let's mention that a couple things here that I think worked in Iowa's favor. Certainly Tristan Wirfs, somebody that Proctor has said he kind of idolizes. wore the same number as Tristan, came to Iowa as a four-star commit, but let's be realistic. Worf's probably should have been a five-star, but just committed to Iowa so early that it wasn't, the recruitment didn't get out of hand like Proctor. And then, in addition, Tyler Linderbaum this past year, even on a terrible Iowa offensive line, he goes in the first round of the NFL draft. So it's not like, it's not like Proctor's just, oh, let's just go to the hometown school. It's like, hey, even in bad offensive line years for Iowa, they can get guys into the first round of the NFL draft and in short time. I mean, Linderbaum stayed a year longer than he probably needed to, but he became a first rounder in 4 years. Worst became a first rounder in 3 years. And let's be honest. I mean, Proctor's got a clear path to playing time, Kennington. I mean, I'm not seeing a great offensive tackle on this 2022 team. I think he could be competing, no question, for a starting spot in 2023. I don't have enough info to know if he's enrolling early, but I think playing time also would have to be a factor. I mean, get him on the field and get him going.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you look at the offensive line for this year's group. You're going to have Mason Richmond back at left tackle, but you look at that right tackle spot. Jack Plum is going to be a senior, so this is last year of eligibility. And, David Davikoff is a promising prospect as well, but he hasn't proven anything on the field. He hasn't had a chance to play. So you have to imagine that Proctor is going to be on equal footing with him, other guys along the offensive line who are going to be vying for that tackle position. So, there's no question in my mind that he's going to be able to come in and have a chance. I imagine that Iowa was telling him throughout the recruiting process, obviously how much of a priority he is for this class, but also maybe showing him a path where he can come in and contribute immediately. And in the era of, the transfer portal and all these other things, that's really what high school prospects want. And in addition to, being a great culture fit and, having coaches that they trust to be here, they want to come in and they want to contribute early. They want to play early. And there's an opportunity for him to do that at Iowa.
Yeah, for sure. So I got rivals up here, Iowa, up to 14 commitments in the class of 2023. I think there's probably a thought process here that Proctor offers a little bit of momentum, maybe especially on the offensive side of the ball. Maybe they pick up a tight end, maybe a D end. We'll see. I would think that would be the case, right? I mean, that's usually how these things work. Once one big fish comes aboard, I mean, we saw that with Arch Manning, right? I mean, he's not that far ranked behind Arch Manning. I think other guys might follow here in the coming days.
Yeah, definitely. And then when you look at the way that the recruiting landscape is shaping out this year, you're seeing a lot of high priority guys coming off of the board early on in the process. I feel like in past years, we've seen guys commit during the fall or commit during December, which some of them do, but a lot of them are committing before the start of the senior year, is wanting to get it out of the way. So when you're looking at some of the prospects that Iowa is in on right now, I'm thinking of Kendra Gilbert as an example, a four-star who just announced his top four. I believe it was yesterday, and Iowa was in it. Him seeing that Caden Proctor is on board now, that can maybe, push Iowa a little bit further ahead in that momentum. And for these other prospects that are kind of considering Iowa versus other schools or wanting to commit sometime in July before their senior year, now that they know that Caden Proctor is locked in, that's something that they can look to as a selling point for Iowa. And there's no doubt in my mind, and I don't know Caden Proctor personally, but I just imagine that similar to Xavier Wampa, he's going to be getting on the phone and he's going to be calling guys, he's going to be texting guys, trying to recruit for Iowa as well. Because at the end of the day, these kids at this level, they all know each other and they want to play together and they want to kind of maybe build for teams and super classes and they want to do things together. I mean, we see that across the country. So, the fact that they were able to get Proctor in this early on is going to be a huge advantage for Iowa through the rest of the recruiting cycle. I mean, Wampa committed in December, but look at how many commitments they got after he committed going into late signing day. Now you have Proctor in June, basically going into July, and you have him for the rest of the fall. He's going to be at a lot of games in the fall, I imagine, on unofficial visits, taking in the atmosphere, continuing to recruit and to push for guys. So, in addition to it being such a huge commitment, the time frame in which he decided is a huge boost for Iowa versus if he would have decided to prolong his recruiting process into the fall and into December, you know, while other prospects are in limbo as well.
Yeah, and it certainly has to help for the class of 2024. I mean, just not just in this class. And then you kind of also like the idea of, you know, I don't think you and I think Xavier Wampa is going to be a, you know, like a all Big Ten safety this year. But I think in 2 years, there's a good chance that he's starring on the field for the Hawkeyes and probably a good chance Caden Proctor's in the rotation for the Hawkeyes as well in that class. So kind of exciting to think about the, you know, the 2023 season ahead as well. Just for, I mean, you're putting – Iowa doesn't usually put five-star talent on the field like that, and they're going to have that out there. And I think you also, just in this NIL era, I mean, who knows what Alabama was able to offer. We know Iowa, you know, is not offering really collective money to prospects. So that also is a huge win. And just I think also underscores Iowa's message, which we've heard, is like, hey, we might not get you paid on the front end as much as these other schools, but we'll get you paid on the back end.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's an interesting point that you brought up about what, you know, a 23 team could look like, or even a 24 team could look like. And this is why it's so important when you look at not only this year, how they recruited, but how they recruited in last class, in the class before that. I mean, you're looking at the 23 team, you're going to have Keegan Johnson, Arlen Bruce, and Cooper DeJean, all as upperclassmen and starting and having big roles on the team. And then you're going to have in this past class, Wampa, like you said, probably going to be a big part of it. And then you might have, you know, Aaron Graves, you imagine is probably going to have a big role going into next year when there's more attrition defensive line spot. So you're starting to see compounded interest of recruiting really well the last 3-4 years. And I think that is going to be setting up to where it may not show this year, but in the next year and the year after that and the year after that, if they can continue to recruit at this momentum, we're going to see kind of an age of Iowa football where they really are going to kind of be in that conversation of, you know, not only competing for, you know, a Big Ten West championship, but maybe even challenging for a Big Ten championship, which we talked about during the fall of the Penn State game. One of the big messages was not only can you come to Iowa and develop and go to the NFL, which we've seen for, you know, 2+ decades now. But when you add the winning component on top of that and the chance to play on national television and have that spotlight, that's what's really going to help Iowa continue to recruit well against elite competition going into the future.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, this is the number one offensive tackle in the country. You know, we talked about on a radio show a couple weeks ago where, you know, where a running back from Texas went to Louisville, which is kind of weird or whatever, but it's like, well, maybe that was NIL and all that. But, I mean, like, let's get your perspective here, Kennington, from, you know, as a Georgia fan, someone who's followed the SEC his whole life. Like, if you're watching this, let's say you're Alabama, let's say you're Georgia. I know Georgia wasn't in on Proctor's recruitment, but, you know, what do you make of it if you're one of those schools? You're like, what's this guy doing going to Iowa? What is your reaction, I guess, for trying to put yourself on the outside here, maybe from SEC country, saying, wow, the number one offensive tackle in the country is going to Iowa. The number one running back potentially in the country, or one of the top running backs, is going to Louisville. I mean, there's some craziness going on right now.
Yeah, definitely. I think that the initial reaction that I think Alabama fans are going to have is, one, it's kind of like, okay, he's an in-state kid going to the in-state school. Maybe they're kind of negotiating with themselves and saying that was going to be a tough pulling him out of the state and bringing him to Alabama. But on the flip side of that, I mean, Alabama's a program. They've gone into other states before and gotten the top players, and they're a national program, and they recruit all over the country. So to that, I would say, you know, Proctor being an in-state kid surely helped Iowa, but at the end of the day, Iowa had to recruit him very well, and they had to recruit him very hard in order to stave off Alabama. And even schools like Oregon, for example, they had a lot of momentum with him in the spring. So Iowa had to fend off a lot of competition to keep Proctor in state. So I think that, you know, Alabama fans are going to assume that because he was an in-state kid, and I think they recognize Iowa has a track record with offensive linemen, that, you know, that was going to be an uphill climb for them. But I think that on a broader scale, when you look at Alabama's, when you look at the Georgia's, even a school like Florida, for example, who's getting beaten on the trail by Miami and Central Florida and other schools right now, schools that you wouldn't expect them to get beaten out by. It's just, you know, maybe a reality check and a wake up call that recruiting is getting more difficult for these power schools. It's not going to be necessarily people are going to automatically commit to Georgia at running back because they've had great running backs in the past, and they're not automatically going to commit to Alabama to play offensive line because they've had great offensive linemen in the past. So I think it's just putting more strain on coaches like Nick Saban and Kirby Smart and Dabo Sweeney and others to really be persistent and to really be really consistent in the process of getting these elite kids, because as we're seeing, you know, they're kind of carving their own path, and they're recognizing that they don't have to go to Alabama or they don't have to go to Georgia or USC or wherever the case may be to kind of make a name. They can do it at a school like Iowa, or they can do it at a school like Louisville. So I think that, you know, it's just a little bit more of a kind of individuality by the players. It's kind of like taking charge of their own destiny and carving their own path. So that's really exciting if you're an Iowa fan, and it's really exciting if you're a media member getting a chance to cover all this. But maybe not so exciting if you're an Alabama or a Georgia fan.
Yeah, of course, here come all the beeps. I'm going to turn you down just for a sec so I get the beeps out of the way. Sorry. Great stuff there, Kennington. You mentioned USC. We're going to get to the new Big Ten members, potential members here shortly. But last couple thoughts, I guess, in recruiting is, I believe, here, I'm going to turn you up for a sec. You've got Jay Neiman on the podcast next week. Now, I know he can't – or on the radio show. I know he won't be able to talk specifically about Caden Proctor, but as an in-state guy – you know, he's going to be able to, you know, probably provide at least a little background of how they're doing in in-state recruiting. Obviously, as we know, he was in the living room of Xavier Wampa back in December, and famously kind of said, "Hey, where are you going to go?" Meaning, where are you going to go for your birthday? And then Wampa spilled the beans that he was going to go to Iowa, which was a nice surprise to those in attendance. But you got Jay Neiman on next week's show, correct? And I believe you're yes. going to record that. So that's cool. Good timing, man. That worked out.
Yeah, definitely. Maybe we're going to have no shortage of topics.
Okay, good deal. And you're just to be clear, I mean, you're kind of a Aaron Graves convert now. So, I mean, between Proctor, Wampa, and Graves, I mean, I think we feel like Iowa's got 3 5-star guys, don't we? I mean,
yeah, definitely. And I mean, even somebody like a Cooper DeJean, like imagine if he went to, you know, a 4A, 5A school in another state that wasn't Iowa, like he'd probably be a top 25, 50 prospect as well. So, you know, there's some guys who, you know, may not have the national acclaim of being a 5-star or whatever the case may be, but, you know, Iowa has – they've got some guys on this roster, and I think that we're going to start to see maybe a level of athleticism on both sides of the ball that, you know, Iowa fans haven't seen in quite some time.
Well, they still need to get help somewhere in the receiving department. You know, they lost out on the receiver yesterday. It was yesterday, right? I lose track on a vacation.
I think it was 2 days ago.
2 days ago. Go ahead.
Yeah, that was 2 days ago.
Okay. So you lose another receiver to Purdue. So they gotta do something there. I think it's almost time to hit the portal hard on receiver. Just make receiver a portal. I don't know what to do. I mean, I know they're bringing in some walk-ons, but, man, got to win some receiving battles at some point here. I know Zach Ortworth, I believe, the tight end, is probably their, you know, most likely tight end in this class. But and I know Kenneth Merriweather, a defensive end, is probably high on the list as far as maybe committing to Iowa soon. And there's another name I was going to mention. Who was it? Why can't I think of it? Wasn't there another name that's kind of leaning towards Iowa in this class? Mm-hmm. Who am I thinking of? I don't know.
What position? I'm not even.
Maybe I was thinking of tight end. I might have been tight end. Maybe that's who it was. Maybe it was Ortworth. Oh, and Logan Howland, the guy from Marco. Yeah.
Marco Lyons' teammate.
Yeah. But Iowa's at 4 offensive linemen now in that class. So I don't know if they're filled up, or maybe they got one more spot. Really interesting the fact that Cannon Leonard, the 6'9" guy with like no offers, committed a couple weeks ago.
That
was an interesting piece of timing there. And I don't think I've mentioned this on the radio show, but so that guy's like what, 6'9", 260 or something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Something in that department. Like the fact that you and I had that Spencer Brown guy that ended up playing for the Bills right away. 6'9" guy. I just wonder if they've got a little scar tissue there in terms of, let's try to get one of these 6'9" guys and put them on the edge and develop them like you and I did, But anyway, I just kind of want to throw that thought out there just in case 4 years from now, Cannon Leonard is the next Spencer Brown.
Yeah, well, this is what I'll say on on that point and the offensive line spots filling up. So first, Cannon Leonard is another example of the camp culture and how important that it is that he was able to kind of pop out of camp, get an offer, and he committed immediately. But when we're looking at the offensive line spots, Trevor Lauk did an interview with one of our sister papers in Gannett, the Indy Star, and he said that one of the reasons why he committed to Iowa, other than the obvious football stuff, was that he wanted to secure his spot while he could. So I think that that lets you know that they're about done recruiting offensive linemen. Obviously, Caden Proctor was going to have a spot whenever he decided to commit, but other prospects aren't going to have that same luxury. So I think that just kind of, puts a nice bow on the offensive line part of this class. I mean, you never know what's going to happen in the fall. Maybe somebody pops or develops, but I think that they have addressed that need. And there are some other very pressing ones like pass catcher, like you highlighted. And I'll say this on the pass catcher point. It's easy to recruit easier. Let me not say it's easy. It's easier to recruit players like Xavier Wampa when you've had five Big Ten defensive backs of the year in the last 10 years. And obviously it's easier to recruit tight ends, and it's easier to recruit defensive linemen when you have players like AJ Epenesa going high in the draft. But when you have the track record that they've had with receivers in years, and you look at kind of how the offense has fared, it's going to be more difficult to get kids to buy in. And at one point, the receiver room had a lot of guys. The transfer portal attrition has dwindled the numbers down. So that's just, a little bit more onus on the offensive production this year and the performance that they put out, because kids are going to be watching that. So if you, let's say the offense does well this year or takes a step forward, it might be easier to recruit some receivers. But if that's not the case, then, like you said, they might have to go dipping into the portal for kids looking for a new home.
All right, so great stuff on recruiting. Kennington, let's talk a little Pac-12 / Big Ten. I'm going to just mute you just for a sec just so that I don't get the beeps. Their team's beeps. That just shows we're active behind the scenes here. What the heck did I just do? Oh, yeah, I turned you up. Sorry. Okay, a little rusty. USC and UCLA are in conversations to leave the Pac-12 for the Big Ten as early as 2024, according to John Wilner of the San Jose Mercury News. Not finalized, but there's been such secrecy around the and curiosity, I guess, about why the Big Ten has not revealed its media rights deal, which is set to expire after next season. So now we maybe have an idea why, because they are trying to get USC and UCLA into the fold. This is one of those things. I mean, to me, Kennington, and I know Proctor is probably a bigger deal to most people listening to this podcast, and understandably so. But to me, as somebody who's grown up, a little bit with a romanticized, I think, image of the Rose Bowl because of how, growing up in Iowa City and following the Hawkeys, understanding the Big Ten, all that stuff, watching the Rose Bowl every year, since 1982. These are teams that you want to play against, and it's just hard for me to kind of even wrap around my mind that USC and UCLA could be Big Ten members. I mean, I cannot. If you're going to go grab two schools from somewhere, I would say maybe Notre Dame would be a little higher on the list, but they've tried. That's been kind of a tried. They've tried that for years and years. I don't know if I can think of two better schools. If you, you know, let's take Oklahoma and Texas out of it. You know, obviously they're in the SEC now, or going to be. I just can't think of two better schools to bring into the Big Ten, at least as far as stature, in terms of what part of the country it opens up. I love the thought of it. I know there's probably purists out there that don't, but I just, you know, this is so much better than adding Maryland and Rutgers in 2014. No offense to those institutions, but I mean, USC and UCLA has some cachet. Just think about football alone, and that's where the big part of this is, but just the Lincoln Riley aspect of moving to USC. I mean, you know, Lincoln Riley in the Big Ten. I mean, this is just, this all is like mind blowing to me, way beyond the Proctor news for me personally.
Yeah. Right. No, I agree with you. This is, first of all, I'm young, obviously. I'm not a college football purist, maybe like others. I think this is amazing. Like, this is like when you have, you know, I don't know if you've ever played like the NCAA video game or whatever, and you do the dynasty mode and you have the opportunity at the end of the season to like rearrange the conferences or whatever. This is like an example of that in real life, where you get to add, you know, California schools to the Big Ten and, you know, just bring another dynamic to the conference. You know, when you talk about Lincoln Riley, I think about more speed coming into the conference. And I look at, you know, maybe from the outside, at least from my perspective, when I imagine the Big Ten, you know, growing up in the South, it wasn't like a very like fast conference, if that makes sense. It's like bigger offensive linemen and more fullbacks and power eye sets. And obviously Ohio State is more on the spread offense speed spectrum. You're bringing in, you know, USC and UCLA who kind of play that same style. So I just think that, you know, conflicting styles is going to be something that's going to be really interesting to watch. Like you said, opening up that area for recruiting. Iowa went out and got TJ Hall from California. Now they'll have an opportunity to really go out and recruit California, because they can sell kids on being able to play those California schools and getting a chance to go out west every once in a while. You know, the chance for Iowa to maybe play in the Rose Bowl or to play in Pasadena more regularly. I think that that's, you know, a big part of it as well. But when you look at the additions themselves, last year when the alliance talk started to come out and all the conversations about conference realignment, the names that were being brought up to join the Big Ten were more of like West Virginia and Iowa State and others. And I think that they're really looking for that mix of like athletic excellence, but also academic prowess. And thinking of USC and UCLA and what they bring on both ends of those spectrums, I mean, those are two names and institutions that are like crown jewels, you know, in the country, and especially on the West Coast. I mean, those are the two most prominent institutions on that side of the country. So to bring them into the Big Ten is huge. And on the football point, this is my last point, and I'll toss it back to you for other topics. For so long, the conversation has been, you know, how dominant the SEC is, and the SEC is the best football conference and it's not close and this, that, and the third. I feel like at this point right now, it's the SEC and it's the Big Ten and it's everybody else. I mean, you look at bringing in those two schools, especially USC, and you bring them in with Ohio State and Michigan and Penn State and Iowa and Wisconsin. You have really, really, really good teams at the top, but you still have pretty good depth in the middle of the conference as well.
And you know, you're going to have, you know, two 16-team leagues now in the SEC and the Big Ten. If this all unfolds, again, has not been finalized at the highest levels, according to John Wilner. Athletic is also reporting it. USA Today also has a story up. So, you know, this is there's definitely, you know, a lot of smoke here, a lot of fire, it seems. I can't imagine they would let this leak out at this stage. If it wasn't going to happen, that would be pretty crazy. But the fact is, Kennington, that I don't know. This is so fresh to me that I almost need to process it more before, you know, talking about it too long. But the fact that, you know, the Big Ten and the SEC can now match each other 16 for 16. I mean, so much for an alliance. This has to be the most Sneak Attack Alliance ever by Kevin Warren to get, you know, getting an alliance with the Pac-12 and then steal its two most prominent members, or at least two, you know, two of its most prominent, no question. I mean, especially with the tradition that UCLA brings in basketball. And then, of course, you know, obviously they, USC and UCLA can keep that rivalry going that they have with each other. So, I just – what a move by Kevin Warren if they get him. And, you know, Fox, Fox has the Big 10 and Pac-12, you know, contracts. So look at, you know, that's also a power move from Fox. You would have to think that, hey, let's take two of our biggest draws in our Pac-12 package, which is kind of minuscule compared to the Big 10, and throw it in the Big 10. Now, now this becomes a really attractive package. And I don't know. I just think 16 in the Big 10, 16 in the SEC is such good symmetry for a potential, you know, maybe even a breakaway in college football. Who knows? But certainly in a 12-team playoff, those two conferences, you know, I would think would take up seven bids at least between them, if not eight, maybe even nine. I mean, depending. I don't know. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I think that the Big Ten is definitely next in line for having multiple teams from one conference in the college football playoff in a four-team format, depending on how quickly they move over. But, you know, to your point about basketball and other things, this is a power move across so many different sports. I saw you tweet about how this is going to help out Big Ten baseball. Think about how competitive track and field is about to be in the Big Ten when you bring in California schools like USC and UCLA as well. So this is something that's going to help out the conference across, you know, every facet. And it's just really exciting. And it's a really exciting time, at least for me, you know, to be a fan of college football and to cover college football from the media side. I know, like you said earlier, there's going to be maybe some purists who don't like it or don't like the realignment. But, you know, I just think it's really exciting. I think it's going to be really fun to watch. And, you know, I made this joke on Twitter. Then you hopped on, like, right after I said it. Somebody asked who's going to get the first Cali trip. And I was like, well, you know, Chad, he's on vacation right now. At that point, you hadn't texted me back about doing an emergency pod. So I was like, okay, he's out of sight, out of mind.
Let I was just mowing the lawn, just for full disclosure. Nothing too exciting today, NBK. Like I said, it's kind of a between day for some stuff for us. But anyways, perfect day for it all to happen. Go ahead. Yeah, are you claiming the California trips? Is that what I'm hearing?
I try to. And then I was like, you know, he's gone by the time he comes back. This is going to be old news.
Statute of limitations, yeah.
Right, exactly. And then I just saw you tweet right after. I was like, oh, hey, Chad, I guess he's very I guess he's present. But we can talk about those things. And you know, that's going to be exciting too. This is going to make the road game draft you know, that much more fun to
heck
do.
Yeah. So I know, man. I told my wife about it, and I said, she was like, you know, she's not a huge sports fan or anything, but she was intrigued because you know, hey, if I buy her plane ticket, you know, for a trip to LA, you know, that wouldn't be, you know, if the company buys mine, that's a pretty good little vacation. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
you don't have to be much of a sports fan to understand a trip to LA.
yeah I'll cover the basketball game for 2 hours, you go, you know, and we'll still be done by like whatever, 9 o'clock, right? You know, because of the time change. So,
right.
It's not like flying to Rutgers and getting done at 12:30 in the morning.
Right. Exactly. It's just gonna be fun. And then also imagine, like, I don't know if they're going to adopt the model of maybe having no conference, no divisions like the ACC has, or they're going to keep their divisions intact. But just in your mind, imagine, you know, let's say it happens in 2025 and you're going to have USC with their recruiting class that they're bringing in, and Iowa with all the prospects that they're going to have in the snow late in the year playing for a chance to go to the Big Ten championship game. Like, just imagine like what that is going to look like and potentially feel like. Or maybe Iowa goes out to California for a chance to play for the Big Ten championship and they're, playing for USC. Yeah. There's just, you know, how can you not feel romantic about that? Like, how can you not, you know, get excited about that, whether you're a purist or not?
And yeah, I mean, I'm getting ahead of myself here, but let's say the let's say the Rose Bowl kind of, you know, the Rose Bowl is just clinging to its sunsets, its place in on January 1st, as we go towards potentially a 12-team playoff. But, like you said, maybe a Big Ten championship in Pasadena, you rotate it between there, Indianapolis, maybe Minneapolis. I mean, you can still have some sunsets, for a Big Ten championship game. in December. It doesn't have to be on January 1st, but anyway. Interesting. I don't know what the I don't like a 16 team conference with no divisions. I would like to see two divisions personally. Now the SEC is sticking to two divisions, right? Or are they doing three? Okay.
For now it's two.
It's going to be okay. I mean, when Texas and Oklahoma join, it's going to be two. That's
yeah.
Plan. Okay. See, I like that. I think it should be two. It should be two.
They introduced the idea of maybe having like four different pods where like you play everybody in your pod and then you play different teams from others. And then the two best records would go. It's nothing set in stone though, but I like the idea of two different divisions, I guess. Like you would rather have USC and Iowa's division, wouldn't you? I guess like just for the excitement, UCLA isn't as good in football. But maybe that adds some strength to that side of the division as well, having USC. So
heck yeah. Yeah. Throw Purdue out into the East and, USC, UCLA join the West. I mean, to me, that's it. But there, right. But USC, UCLA are going to want to play Ohio State though, Penn State. So I don't know.
Right. Yeah.
A lot to figure out.
Yeah, definitely exciting. Now, I've seen people, talk cracking jokes on Twitter about, oh, I can't wait to watch Rutgers at USC. But again, for the Big Ten, we talked about this with the Alliance, the opportunity to become more of a national conference and a national brand with that type of alliance. I mean, you're looking at the Big Ten now. They have schools based in the Midwest, but now they've extended out to the East Coast with Maryland and Rutgers, and now you have the two biggest institutions on the West Coast. So, I mean, I know at one point there was a Conference USA, but it seems like the Big Ten is kind of, planting their flag on that territory by having schools, all over the map now.
Truly coast to coast, from L.A. to New York. Or New York, I mean New Jersey, but essentially New York City market. So, that's something else. And you kind of feel we'll see. There's so much to think about on this. I don't want to get down too many rabbit holes. You got to get to work, Brock Kennington, and we're almost at 40 minutes here. So I will let you go. Thanks for giving me the suggestion to do it. Timing couldn't have been better for me, honestly. So I'm glad we could do it today. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. And for sure. Also, I'm going to leave on this note because you said we don't know if it's official. Pete Tamil? Sounds right.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yep.
He, this is him less than 5 minutes ago. Spoke to a few sources who call USC and UCLA move to the Big Ten a formality with a press conference expected in the next 24 hours, perhaps as soon as tonight.
Wow.
He says it's essentially done.
This is essentially – I just see that now. Yeah, he's if he's saying it, it's good to go. Wow, essentially done for the 2024 season is kind of as early as that is something else. Great stuff, Kennington. Sounds like you're going to be busy. No downtime in our beat anymore. It doesn't seem like, but I will see you in a couple weeks, my friend.
Yeah,
thanks.
For sure. It's crazy because we have a holiday weekend, so I filed all my stories early. I thought I was going to be able to kick my feet up today and enjoy my Thursday. But then Cannon Proctor decided to drop his bombshell. I was like, okay, that's cool. And then now we have this announcement. So, again, I know you're an honorable man, but you told me that the summer was downtime, and it's not.
It's not. But this has been the craziest one yet.
I am not feeling the downtime. But in all seriousness, I'm having a great time, and I can't wait to continue to keep this thing rolling, and I'll let you enjoy your vacation, and I'll touch base with you later.
All right. Thanks, man. Appreciate you very, very much. Really excited for our next year together. Take care, man.
All right. For sure.
That was Kennington Smith, total pro. Really, really enjoy Kennington. It's been such a fun partnership. thus far, and we're just getting started, as we've said to each other. So we're excited to be able to work together for you guys. Thanks for listening to this special edition of the Hawk Central Emergency Podcast. All good stuff, in my opinion. And if you're not happy about the Pac-12 schools joining the Big Ten, that's fine, but I'm really excited about it. I think that's a cool thing. I think that really strengthens the Big Ten. I don't see much of a downside to it. And, the idea of maybe scheduling some of those late season games in California, that's kind of exciting, to get out of the Big Ten weather maybe one time here and there. So, and I truly hope that they stick to the divisions. It doesn't sound like it's going to happen, but who knows? Maybe this whole thing is blowing it all out of the water. 2 8-team divisions sounds good to me. Iowa USC every year, Iowa UCLA every year. That'd be a lot of fun in the Big Ten West. All right, folks, we're going to get this to you ASAP. Take care. I'll see you in a couple weeks. But stay tuned to Kennington and to Hawk Central in the meantime.